God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and this edition of The Encouraging Word. Excited to welcome you back into the part two of what we started yesterday. Now, if you missed yesterday, that's quite all right. If you wanted to go listen to it, you can hear it on our website at theencouragingword.org. But Dr. Don will catch you up in just a moment. That's not necessary. More importantly, are you ready to ask God to tell you how you can change your personal testimony? How people can perceive in you what they seem to perceive in Paul all the time? A man, a woman, sold out to Jesus Christ, changed from the inside out. We'll discover that in more of the teaching today. And remember, we're here for you. Love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. The Encouraging Word. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
We've been here many times in our journey with the Apostle Paul as God sent him out to go across his known world. And any minute now, his known world is going to come up here for me. And that is not his known world. This is his known world right here. Just going to say this to you very briefly today. God takes people, and he uses people like you and me. I see that in hundreds of lives that I look at today, people that I know, that I've been so blessed in my own heart and life. I want to thank you for the power of your testimony, the way God has used you. And today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm calling us out, right there in your business, right there on your playground, in your home, in your community. Yes, God does take people like Paul. He sends them around the world. My life is a little bit like that, not quite the same, because I grew up on the other side of the world. And my wife and I can bear testimony many, many years ago, the time goes by, when God spoke to us very clearly. And we packed up everything. Would have had no idea that over four decades later, that we would find ourselves where we are today. The bottom line is that we're obedient to do what God tells us to do. Paul set out and went on this incredible. This was his third journey across the world. And while he was right here in Ephesus, God spoke to him, said to him, Paul, I'm not through with you yet in this city here called Ephesus. In fact, my assignment that I'm giving to you right now is a very difficult one. Paul was convinced that God was telling Paul when he got to Ephesus that he was going to send him all the way back to Jerusalem, in many ways to the point of origin, but also to the most difficult place. And Paul was, he knew that if he was to go back and obey God, that when he got to Jerusalem, that he would face some hardships that he had never faced before, and we've already encountered many of those hardships, haven't we? He talked of imprisonment and flogging and even death. And so he took one more trip around through Greece, and he came back through the islands of Assos and Mytilene and Chios and Samos, and instead of going back to Ephesus, he stopped here in Miletus, this town called Miletus here. Tell you a couple of things about Miletus. If you want to know the distance, from Ephesus to Miletus is almost exactly 36 miles. Okay, 36 miles, that's the distance. That's important because he invited a whole group of leaders to make that journey. A couple of other things just as a matter of interest. Back in the early days, the BC days, this is a Greek city. And the Greeks considered this to be the center of the universe, Miletus. It was a city that was known for its literary genius. And back in those days, it was a city in which many of the scientists of those days would gather. So it was highly academic. One of those, you might recognize his name, Thale, T-H-A-L-E. Those of you that have studied these things like I have, You know about Thale. Thale is one of the very first people ever to talk about or even predict that a solar eclipse could take place. Now, you and I are not very impressed with that because we just find these things very easy. But can you imagine back in the time of Thale that he would have had the scientific ability to be able to figure out things as deep as a solar eclipse? They didn't have the telescopes and the astronomical means and understanding that we have today. So this year, there's a river here. Do you see this river? If you, I don't know if you can all see it. I love the name of that river. That's called the Meander River. I love a name that's called Meander. I mean, is that, hello? They must have been really on their game over there. The river just meanders. This Meander River was actually very important because it crisscrossed its way across a large portion of the more southern central area of Asia. And that became quite a strategic port in addition to Ephesus. The problem with the Meander River was it carried a lot of stuff with it, a lot of ground. It was just a very disturbed river. And so very quickly, the port city here became clogged up. They didn't have dredging like we have today. And if you were to go to Miletus today, the port is almost non-existent. In fact, it's situated, looks like it's like 10 miles inland from the town. But all that to say, he stopped here in a very significant place. And when he was in Miletus, he knew that his next trip, I mean, just watch with me here. Here goes his trip. We're going to talk about it. And he's going to stop off in a few places here. But he's going to end up in Jerusalem. And he knows this may be the last time he can say anything. And so he calls, sends word up here to the leaders, the church leaders in Ephesus, and he says, I need you to come and visit me. So they all get on their donkeys and their horses, they put on their walking shoes and their Nikes, and they begin to walk down here to Miletus. That's 36 miles. It was like a three-day journey, and they gathered. Let's read about it again. So I'm in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, and how that I served the Lord with all humility and tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. And yet despite these things, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you in public from house to house, testifying to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not reading the next sentence. He says, and now I'm going to Jerusalem. But I needed to say this to you. This is an amazing thing. And in our previous study concerning this powerful testimony, Paul began by stating three things that give to us somewhat of a key to understand the power of his testimony. First, that he was affirmed by the leaders that knew him. And I don't want to camp on this again, excepting to say this has resonated in my own heart. There's no greater, more significant cornerstone of a personal testimony than when those who know you best are able to affirm you best. I use the analogy of parents. And I just want to say again, with all the love in my heart, periodically I hear of people my age who talking about their parents in their age say, you know, I never heard my daddy tell me that he loved me. Now, you sitting here listening to me today, and you're a father, I hope that's not your case. You need to stop that. You are robbing your sons and daughters of an essential key component of the development of the power of their testimony. Don't ever stop doing that, and don't listen to people who tell you you should never tell other people how much you love and appreciate them. Don't buy into that. That's a lie of the devil. I've even heard in Christian circles, well, you should never go up to someone and say, you know what, I just affirm you. Thank God for you. Man, I've watched you. You just bless my heart. Thank you for that message you preached. Thank you for that song you sang. Thank you for blessing other people. Thank you for being a parent. Listen, I just love the way you do this. I mean, he began this whole thing with these leaders. It's what he said. You yourselves know. Secondly, he was faithful over time. He turned to them and he said, look, my testimony is tested over time. Time is an incredible thing, isn't it? But it's highly significant. I'm so grateful to the Lord for the many friends and leaders, wonderful Christian men and women that I know. You've been like this, it seems to me, just all your life. You just keep on serving the Lord. Look at Paul. Paul went through every kind of suffering and pain and circumstance, and yet he was able to say, you yourselves know I've done this. I've kept up with it. It's jolly hard sometimes. Maybe today you've got a good reason to not keep up, to grow weary in well-doing. I just want to affirm you in your personal testimony. Just rise up. Just keep at it. God will bless you and he'll use your life to be a blessing to others. Sometimes in many ways we don't even know. Number three, he was focused on serving the Lord Jesus. He made it very clear right there in verse 19, I serve the Lord. That was the issue. The bottom line for Paul was that his life belonged to Jesus. That's his powerful testimony. Number four, he was humble in spirit. You know, that word is right there. He said, I served the Lord with all humility. I sat at the feet of Dr. Billy Graham for over 2 decades. And what a privilege we had as a congregation that in the last 10 years of his life, he was a member of our church. People all over the world have asked that question. How do you explain Dr. Graham? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You can never fully comprehend. I couldn't. And I'm a person who had an extraordinarily close personal. I sat with him personally, privately, hundreds of times. Ate with him, walked with him, prepared messages with him, talked to him on the phone, met important people with him. And it's something you can't really describe, excepting by the Spirit of God, that a man so great, the phone that rang with us came from prime ministers and presidents, and the single most famous people in the world, from athletes and artists and stars around the world. But he was so humble. It was never him. Never, never. I bear testimony to that. I'm one of the elders that was called from Ephesus, to whom he said, you yourself know. I know. This is what Paul was saying. It's incomprehensible. It's humanly impossible. Humble in spirit, in its adjectival sense, that little word humble there is something. It means to be meek in its adjectival. If you're going to describe someone who's humble, you're saying that person is meek. Here's a beautiful aspect of humility. In its adjectival sense, if you say someone is humble, you're saying they are respectful of everybody else. They are respectful of everybody else. That's a essential quality. The word submission, it's self-effacing. It's unassertive. It's unpresuming in its verbal form, the word humility, to be humble in the verbal form. If you're describing the action of the word with somebody like Paul is saying here, it literally means that Paul was lower in dignity. He was lower in importance than anybody else. So coming back to Dr. Billy Graham, would you understand if I told you there was hardly ever a time that I was with Dr. Billy Graham that if you were there, you would have thought that I was actually the important person. Do you realize how silly this is? And the times that I was with him, that very powerful people walked in and were there with us. And to that person who didn't know me, Don Wilton, they were like, who is this incredibly important person with Dr. Billy Graham, and I don't even know his name? It's the right upwardness of the backwardness of God's order. And then he goes on, number five, he was compassionate. That little word there, tears, can also be rendered the word compassion. This is his powerful testimony. He was compassionate. And the word compassionate there really derives its root from having an overriding sympathy or concern with the suffering and the misfortune of others. You know, we talk many times about walking in someone else's shoes. That's the word that he's using here. He turns to the Ephesian elders and he says to them, you know that as I served the Lord, I served with humility and I served with compassion. I did everything I could to walk in other people's shoes, which is not always easy to do. We battle with these things in our lives. This is the power of Christ working in him. Number six, he was strengthened through trials. He unequivocally says, you know that I went through a lot of trials. And he was strengthened by it, which is God's economy. It's God's way of doing things. It's a spiritual irony in many ways. It always amazes me the number of times I'm around people like yourselves and I watch you and you teach someone like me so much. I've watched some of you really suffer, but you've got such strength in that. It seems to me, more often than not, you go and visit someone in hospital or you talk to someone on the telephone and you see brothers and sisters going through pain, deep waters, the difficulties of broken marriages and broken hearts and hurting hearts and all of these things that take place, and yet there's such strength that comes back from you. It's like, how can you be so strong in the midst of what you're going through? This is his testimony. This is what God does. And he goes further that in the seventh instance, he says part of his powerful testimony is that he was determined despite the opposition that he faced. You know, if you get into verse 19 and 20, in verse 19, let me read it to you like the Greek text has it. Just a couple of words here. This is what he says. I served the Lord with all humility and with compassion, and despite the trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, I still did not shrink from standing firm and being the man of God God has called me to be. He was determined. We all suffer setbacks. We all face obstacles. When it comes to our Christian faith, don't shrink back because of them. Number eight, he was public in his teaching. It's part of his testimony. He tells us right there in verse 20, he said that I not only did not shrink back, I didn't give up. In fact, I remained steadfast. I kept on keeping on. And he said, what I did, I didn't do in private behind closed doors. I was very public about this. I think we have to be very careful sometimes, and especially in our beautiful land, don't we? Always remember this. Your salvation is very private, because it's between you and God. Only God can save you. But your Christianity is totally public. Your salvation is private. I can't save you. Nobody else can. We can show you how to give your life to Christ. You've got to do business with God personally. He loves you personally, individually. But your Christianity, being a Christian, is very public. Jesus put it like this. He said, let your light so shine before other people that others would see your good works. And as a consequence, they would glorify the Father which is in heaven. You don't light a lamp and then put something over the top of it. And what Paul was saying here is just very simply. He said, listen, I did this publicly. I don't know if you've met people. I have from time to time. I've met people who said, you know something? You got to understand, I'm a very public person, so I keep my Christianity to myself. Did you hear that? Now, one, at the same time, we have to act with wisdom, don't we? Paul was not suggesting that you arrive at your office on Monday morning brandishing 10 Bibles and walk in there shouting the Hallelujah chorus and quoting John 3:16 at the top of your voice. See, people always go to extremes. People will take things, they go way overboard. You and I need wisdom in the marketplace. We need wisdom on that college campus. I need wisdom. I need wisdom everywhere I go. God will give you that because His Spirit does that. But your Christianity cannot be private. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday, every moment experience that you have with Christ. Let your light so shine. Number 9, he was impartial in his witness. I love this. He was impartial in his witness. He said, I was the same whether to Greeks, to Jews, or to Gentiles. Paul had no color in his eyes when he loved people. He wasn't partial to rich and poor. Paul was the same person. He loved all people equally because he saw them through the eyes of a loving God. When Jesus went to the cross, he leveled the playing field. He removed all boundaries. And then finally, in this powerful testimony, he was truthful in his message. And that's so powerful when he says this, before we get on to the next section of what took place in Miletus. Listen to what he said. He said, I testified to both Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did he do that? Why did he focus on repenting toward God and putting your faith in Jesus? Because he knew that it is only God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ that can give you forgiveness of sin, that can give you peace in your heart, that can write your name in God's book in heaven. It's the only means by which you can go to heaven. That's what he does for us. When you give your heart to Jesus, all the wrong things, the sin in your life, because Jesus gave his life, when you give your heart to him, he erases it all.
What a powerful day with Dr. Don. And as he's been sharing his heart and these scriptures and this word of God, if the Lord has stirred your heart, let us talk with you, pray with you, maybe put some resources in your hands that will help you grow. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or theencouragingword.org online. That's theencouragingword.org. And before we get away, perhaps the most important things from our pastor are next.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If the Lord has spoken to you, let us talk with you. Let us put something in your hands that will help you grow in your faith and your walk with Christ. As a matter of fact, earlier today, 2 Corinthians 12:7 is what Dr. Don shared as our verse for the day, our encouraging word, reminding us why God put that thorn in the flesh for Paul. We don't know what it was, but we know he put it there. Again, here's the verse, to keep me from becoming proud. I pray that you and I would understand how God's balancing our lives, both with blessings and burdens. Again, that's just a portion of today's Daily Encouraging Word. I pray you would ask for your copy. It's free for the asking at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can sign up online right now and get your email copy of that every single day. It's just, we can't let these single moments of teaching be who we are in Christ, especially if it's just a Sunday or a weekend worship service. But the idea of spending time on a daily basis with these broadcasts and with this daily Bible study, we just believe it will encourage you like never before. Again, if you're interested, give us a call at 866-899-9673 or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Also, the place you can discover about what it means for you to become an encourager.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
That phone number one more time is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And that number and so many other ways to connect are on our website as well at theencouragingword.org.
You know, before we go today, what a day of worship we've had. You know, you and I have in the middle of our hearts our beloved nation, don't we? How much I love America. I'm so proud to be an American. And you know, this broadcast is seen by so many of our armed forces across the world, and we hear from many, many of them, and we love them, we admire them, we respect them. They are our real heroes, and I want you to join with me as we are praying for them, that God would protect them and their families and loved ones. Let's do that right now, shall we? Just before we go, why don't you join with me? Lord Jesus, I'm joining with thousands of people right now. I'm praying for our members, our brave, brave members of our community and our world who are in uniform. Many are overseas in strange and difficult places, families left behind. Lord Jesus, bless them. Keep your hand upon them in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.